Hello again, welcome back to the Cannabis Cure UK Weekly News Podcast, the show that brings you news, views, activism and strain reviews, not to mention some science and great ganja tunes for all the UK herbalists out there. For the next 16 minutes, I'm Greg DeHoot, aka Cure UK. You're listening and hopefully together we can find a little bit of peace of mind and make this nation a prohibition-free zone, feel safe using cannabis in our own homes and not fear being branded as a criminal for either safe enjoyment or improvement of our health. It's time to take back your rights, people. Today's show looks at the start of Clear's Cannabis Truth Roadshow. Some quite different interpretations of the law in the news from some judges. We hear about Sam Dyer as well, a 25-year-old man that is treating his stage 3 glioma with a pressed hashish oil. Sam was on ITV's This Morning with Eamon Holmes last week. I think they should have renamed it Wake and Bake, but This Morning's good enough. That's the life of Cure, though. This week, I've been researching several things that I can't seem to keep my mind off. Obviously, it's to do with cannabis, and on a scientific side of things, I've been looking at the temperatures and boiling points of cannabinoids, flavonoids, and terpenes, just because we've been making hash, and we just want to know what's going on when we're heating things. We want to know what their roles are in the plant as well and how they work in the body with THC and CBD. How does this change what they do? Does this indicate a sativa and an indica? On the social context of things, I've been researching past activists of the UK movement, efforts that have been made on our side and the crimes that have been committed against us by the government. In particular, I've been watching the Exodus Collective episodes on from the BBC on YouTube. That's been pretty insightful. I hadn't seen those before in full length. I've been also scouring around blogs and through forums just to try and find as much information as I can about things like THC for MS, for example. We got to learn about the footprint that we're standing in if we're going to be activists. We need to know what's come before us, and hopefully we can make decisions that can make us stand better in the future. I went back to California again, which is why I was no show last week. In that time I got to see Alcohols of Alta California, the tincture makers that have a product very similar to GW Pharmaceuticals Sativex, but in three different varieties. We'll see more about that and why he chooses to do it that way in future episodes of Cannabis Cure TV and here on this Ye podcast. I met Vernon Phillips, the 2x Cannabis Cup, Medical Cannabis Cup hash champion. He showed us his method of extraction using the Temesium and Butane and a super duper dab-tastic catered me and Northwest Ski Bum up. We were very grateful. Some brilliant words from the man. He's been through he's got an amazing story, Russ. He's had a brain tumour, he's developed epilepsy from it. He's still got that even though he's had the tumour removed. And if that wasn't bad enough already, he had his driving licence revoked.
Aww.
Yep. But since he's started using cannabis every day now, he takes no other medication, hasn't had a seizure in over 3 years, and after much testing multiple times, because they just couldn't believe it, they couldn't believe that cannabis was his medicine, they reinstated his driving licence.
Aww.
So, yeah, huge, incredible story there. And it just shows you, he's a hash champion, he's taking part in his community. We are all active members of a very functional society.
How many people do we know that we've met through all of these travels that are medical marijuana users who didn't have a decent life before that, you know, that we're all stuck up on pharmaceutical drugs in a zombified state or not getting complete relief? And then we meet them day after day after day, you know, hash users and tincture users that get amazing, amazing relief from cannabis medicine. And yet the governments in the UK, the United States, mm-hmm. want to persecute these people. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's a complete joke. I mean, I visited several gardens of, you know, the ganja kind when I was in California, indoor, outdoor, greenhouses. I've seen a lot now, different strains growing outside. It's hard to believe that it is illegal, yet it is. But again, there's just so much variety in the law and in different places that, you know, legal means one thing and illegal means something else somewhere else.
It's a shame.
Anyway, I'm going to slip into a tune for you now. I'll start this one from the stash.normal.org in the tune section. You should check that out. A lot of tunes go on a normal show live every day. This one's Cheers to Herb Thrasher, I guess, from Herb Age Designs. I stole this one. It's the Clintons. Free ride in a cop car. That's one I particularly like and I never want to have this experience. So turn it up, Ross. I think I'm going to finish this bowl with you.
All right. perfect getaway. And it's a proverbial payday in a loser's sort of way. Take the keys, take the back roads, and our hair, it's looking good for a couple of criminals. But it never goes as planned. You get run down by the man, and instead of beating till the whole heart of all the games and pulling off the perfect scam, you know we're looking at a free ride in a cop car. The view's not what I expected. There's a big man in a blue uniform and he's staring down on me. How'd you find us? Where did we go wrong? And I see we left the truck out front as he's throwing the bracelets on. Well, it never goes as planned. You get run down by the man. And instead of beating me, the whole heart of the kids and stepping on a black and tan, you know we're looking at a free ride.
Hi, my name's Adam from the Attitude Seed Bank, and we've got an amazing special deal for the month of October. If you spend over £20 from October the 7th, 9 a.m. to October the 10th, 4 p.m, you'll receive some amazing free strains from G13 Labs. You'll receive for free one feminized Pineapple Express, one feminized Purple Haze, and the brand new strain from G13 Labs, one feminized Auto AK. And it doesn't stop there. For everyone who enters during this promotional period, you're going to have the chance to win an all-expenses-paid trip to Amsterdam. You're going to get your hotels paid for, you're going to get your flights paid for. We're also going to be chucking in some tickets to the 24th Annual Cannabis Cup. All you need to do when you order during this promotional period is to note down your order number plus your contact details and send us an email at conf@theattitude.co.uk. And remember not to spam the email, otherwise you will be disqualified. Only one entry per person. For all terms and conditions, please head over to theattitudeseedbank.com.
Okay, for the news this week. That sounds like a pretty good deal, don't you think, Russ?
And so that's legally to sell the seeds there, huh?
We can sell the seeds in the UK.
Just can't do anything with them.
Nope, that's for souvenirs.
That's right.
They're novelty seeds.
Anyway, back on STV.TV, I've been getting quite a lot of news from Scotland over the last month. Cancer sufferer who grew cannabis for personal use has £100,000 seeds as proceeds of crime. A court has ordered Barry Stewart to hand over income from the last 6 years after he was convicted of cultivating the drug. A 67-year-old man who grew cannabis to relieve his bowel cancer has been ordered to hand over £100,000. Retired marine diver Barry Stewart was convicted of cultivating the drug after police found 91 cannabis plants at his home in Udney Station, Ellen, Aberdeenshire, worth an estimated £14,000 sterling between April 2007 and April 2008. The Crown Office accepted Stewart had grown the cannabis for personal use after he claimed he was relieving the pain caused by bowel cancer. He was sentenced in May 2009 to carry out 200 hours of community service. Prosecutors then launched an investigation into Stewart's finances under the Proceeds of Crime Act 2002 after claiming he may have sold the drug. At the time of the parade, police said the cannabis from Stewart's home where he lived with his wife, Sandra, 64, was on a scale more commonly seen in the context of organised crime gangs. Oh, so it's guilty by association there. Because organised criminals do it, he must be an organised criminal.
Yep.
And on the Friday, Aberdeen Sheriff Court made a confiscation order against Stewart for £104,650.94 of his earnings from the last 6 years, which could not be accounted for legitimately. A Crown Office spokesman said, although his conviction was for production of a relatively small amount of cannabis in comparison to the amount of the confiscation order, the court ruled that by virtue of his conviction for cultivating cannabis, Barry Stewart had a criminal lifestyle. Yeah, because he used cannabis, he was a criminal. Yeah, because the law is wrong. That meant that the court was entitled to consider that the income and assets obtained during the period of 6 years to the date of the offence were the proceeds of crime, and to take these into account when determining the amount of confiscation order. I want to see where the victims are, Russ.
Show me the bodies.
If the only way there's not even anyone complaining about him in particular, is there? They've not actually got any evidence other than you were caught growing plants. You were caught abusing children. You were caught throwing things at old ladies. You were stealing things from shops. No, you were growing plants in the comfort of your own home. They let him mention that he was using it for his cancer, but they never ever actually mention in these reports why people are using it for their pain relief. Why does it give them pain relief? We want education. We want science. Surely the reporter's got to have enough intelligence to question, oh, he's using it for his pain. Well, hang on a minute. Why is he using it for his pain? Surely painkillers are available in the shops. If people can buy them every day. People do buy them. I use them every day. What?
Right.
So if the reporter's not doing that, we must have some really, really bad reporters out there. So if you think you are capable of reporting the truth and digging a little bit deeper, why don't you apply for some jobs or start, you know, doing what I'm doing, just telling the truth to as many people as you can. It's absolutely barbaric in this day and age where we talk about looking at the evidence in court that we don't look at the evidence of science. That's pretty much what everything seems to be trying to be based on these days. I kind of felt quite personal about this case. I have Crohn's disease in my anus. I'm not going to be shy about saying that. It's really fucking painful. To live with that on a day-to-day life without cannabis
is a literal pain in the ass.
It is the shittest disease in the world.
There you go.
In my eyes, anyway. Well, in my arse. But enough of that. To have to tell this guy he's going to have to repay £104,000 for growing a plant to give himself relief. I mean, he's gone down this route. In England, we have the NHS, so we can go. You just trying to bend me down a little bit? We have the NHS, so we don't have to pay huge, huge, huge prescription costs like you guys do in America. So we're lucky in that sense. But this guy's growing it for himself because he doesn't have any alternative. The pain relief that he has been offered by the NHS, the National Health Service, obviously isn't working for him. He finds relief in cannabis. He's been doing this for 6 years, which obviously means it definitely is working for him. Otherwise, he would have given it up and tried something else. He would have gone back to the pharmaceuticals. Yeah, like I said, I take it kind of personally. When they come knocking at my door, I'm sure it's going to happen one day when they come knocking at my door, because it happens. And I'm going to feel awful. I'm keeping myself out of pain, and I'm going to go through a legal system, which takes a stupidly long amount of time, especially with someone as stubborn as me. I'm not going to back down.
Not going to plea?
Neither. So I'm not going to bargain with those mothers. Jesus.
Of course not.
This is my right. I shouldn't... Coleco said it to me perfectly. I think he said it probably on one of the shows. I hate having to be... try and tell the truth and be an honest person to my employers, my parents, my family, and hide the fact that I use cannabis as my medicine, and just, if I hear something, hear people saying something bad about cannabis, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut about
it.
I'm just going to tell them everything I can to educate them, but without going over the top, because going over the top can harm our cause.
Right, you want to be friendly, you want to be polite, but got to be honest about what the truth is. You can't, you know, let it go.
Okay. And a little bit further south, the next story from the BoltonNews.co.uk. A man who was caught... The headline of this piece is... man spared jail over £200,000, cannabis farm. Yeah, slightly different outcome here. That's what I mean about slight discrepancies in the judicial system, whatever you want to call it. A man who was caught watering more than £200,000 sterling worth of cannabis plants... is in a disused mill, has avoided jail. Bolton Crown Court heard Roy Shepherd of St Helens Road, Bolton, agreed to look after the 1,185 plants at Kenyon Mill in Kenyon Street, Ramsbottom, for 1 week to wipe out an old drug debt. So he's, you know, they've got enough information here. This guy's obviously said, yeah, I've got a drug debt. I'm growing drugs to pay my way out of my illegal debt. But the former drug user was caught on his third day when police officer and planning officer visited the mill to deal with planning breaches on June the 1st last year. They discovered the sophisticated cannabis farm, which the court heard had used 55,000 Great British Pounds worth of stolen electricity. Well, that sounds like you're going to, a little bit drawn to attention. The plants were in five rooms and had an estimated street value of £216,200. Shepherd, age 48, pleaded guilty in an earlier hearing to production of cannabis. Mark Friend, defending, said he foolishly took the view that a week of watering plants to rid him of looking over his shoulder in Bolton every day would be worthwhile. Yeah, that's foolish. I'm going to water some plants so someone doesn't shank me.
Yeah.
You foolish man! Look out for yourself! The defendant's role was transient, and he admitted as soon as he was arrested. The court heard that he has previous connections for theft, convictions for theft and non-drug related offence. The court heard that he moved away from Bolton and turned his life around, but when he came back, his past caught up with him. Recorder Julian Shaw gave him a 10-month prison sentence suspended for 2 years, and he must complete 150 hours of unpaid work. He said, "You have been in court dozens of times over the years, but more recently, you have turned your life around." That's all right, then. In sounded like a Daily Mail reader then. Oh, God. wash myself. In June last year, you rather stupidly got yourself involved with helping out in what was a large-scale cannabis cultivation factory. You have been sentenced on your basis of the basis of your plea, and you are involved at the bottom end of the scale. So it doesn't matter. If you're at the bottom end of the scale, that means it's okay. You can get out. But if you're in Scotland and you're growing it for your bowel cancer, you'll go to prison for it. You'll get ordered to repay £100,000 of that. It's pretty disgusting, really.
Yeah.
I reported back a few months ago, before I left, about the new guidelines that are coming in. I don't think they've come in yet. I think this is what's coming in November around bonfire night. I think it's 999 grams of cannabis. If you're caught with that, you're going to be let off. But I guess that doesn't include cultivation of it.
Okay.
Now, whether they start to introduce a tolerance for the grow limit, we've been talking about this in Clear a few times. I've been had this conversation crossed with me. A legal limit to grow two plants. This is before we even introduced a clear plan for tax and regulation for a British cannabis market in Britain.
Right.
They're looking at making steps towards maybe decriminalising small home grow. So if you've caught with two plants and it's under a certain watt, they won't take you to court, but you'll be given community service or a drug order, whatever. But still, that's a step forward in the right direction.
Yeah, recognising personal use versus commercial.
Yeah, scale. Because this is what they seem to be looking at in these cases. I mean, this guy wasn't growing it for himself to sell. He was part of a production crew, so they've let him off. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't to blame, so yeah. Whatever, it's slightly strange. I'm not sure where the British judges seem to be going with it. There's a lot of personal opinion that goes into it. I think we need to clarify the matter, and we need to have an open debate and talk about it clearly. This is what Clear are doing on their road shows, which is what we're going to talk about in a minute. I want to go for another song now while I keep rambling. I've got dry mouth and I keep going to take a drink and then thinking of other things to say and making no sense at all. So, this one is Conscience featuring Deleuze. It's a Chalice Load. I love this tune, makes me think of back in Denver. So, that's where I'm going next.
We start to roll up a big fat spliff, 7:40. Smoke it up by 7:45. We have to start build our next one all over again, but till it build, I just cannot wait. I'm living spliff by spliff, ziggy by ziggy. $50 bag, my money tough in a jiffy. All of my herbalist friends, the minute time when they see me, I just want thing, me want them to give me. I need to get a chalice load, I need a chalice load. This little bit of waiting, I can't afford. I need the chalice load, chalice load. Because one split leads to another. I need the chalice load, I need the chalice load. This $20 bag thing, I can't afford. I need the chalice load, chalice load. Because one split leads to another.
We light weed, yeah. We blaze it up until we eyes bleed, set speed. We walk a girl, you know she must breed. Yes indeed, it make your move on a fast speed. Plant the seed and see the growth of a new breed. Cali weed, that's just what my Cali needs, sensei. In case of an emergency Medina, you have to hold a meditation, your bliss come. If you cannot handle that, then you be drunk ganja. We roll that up in front of Babylon Tanga. In the industry, we that the sponsor. We make enough, get to use, get a answer. He never kill nobody, he's not cause of cancer. Yet still, them not legalize the ganja. We man no response for that neither. We just a keep a cannabis for we veranda, yeah. So make a load of the country,
man. I need the chalice load, I need the chalice load. Yeah. It's a good bit of waiting, I can't afford. I need the chalice load, chalice load. Because one split leads to another. I need the chalice load, I need the chalice load. It's $20 bag thing, I can't afford. I need the chalice load, chalice load. Because one split leads to another.
Thousand pound of the weed me a bring forward. From the West me left a case out of Hill Road. Bring it back on the ends of me a cut the road. Grab a 50 bag big like a dance boat. Me and my friends then smoke until we lean in. Eyes bleeding, start talk shit for no reason. And I'm going to be a pick up the tear off the ceiling. But we don't got more weed we need. All we need a me chalice in a me and I impress. We don't know the plan after the weed program. And we a listen to Kalanchi song. Our two berries a man. Me know that weed and no, come on, all the best from the west this. If we can't come in at the party, me no want it on the guest list. It's why they please nobody stress this. Cause when me can't get me weed, me miserable and restless.
That's it. Yeah. Them showing millions of cases every day. My cigarette smoking, I kill people around the world. And people are smoking every day like a chimney. But them can't show me one case yet. Where ganja directly kill nobody or hurt nobody around the world. You know, sister, I won't be like where I eat at. But I want everyone legalize it now, there, you know. God, them legalize it, them all take it for themselves. And poor people are going to see it. So when I want them legalize it, you see me? Your moon. Tell Quincy to be the next play for me. Gimme. Line up next with him and go tear it.
For breaking the world's records for the biggest vegetable. Man, I want to tell you something, man. When I do my show in Cardiff, I want you to come backstage and see me, because I do vegetation myself, and I want to know your secret so I can show you my vegetables and see if you can grow that into a real big vegetable. So Ian Neal from Cardiff, come see your boy Snoop Dogg. I got 2 tickets for you when I get to town. You dig?
All right. Thanks, Snoop Dogg, for that one. Check that out, Ian Neal. Got to get those tickets for growing your vegetables. Snoop Dogg wants you to hook him up. Snoop Dogg, if you're listening, I can hook you up with a card if I go down there. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm telling you, my man, Cannabis Cure's got the shizzle.
Shizzle my nizzle, the cheese, y'all.
Anyway, quick happy birthday to Clark French. You turned 26 this week. Happy birthday,
wow.
Dude. Yeah. I'm looking forward to spending those few days with you before you head off back to here on the plane yourself. You're coming back to the Bay to medicate up for another 3 months. Leave me on my own in the UK. It's alright, I've got some friends in Cannabis Truth and Jason Reed. They're going to hopefully vape down with me, do a couple of episodes. We'll sort something out. We need to get some education to the masses. Come on, England!
Guess who else's birthday it is today?
Whose birthday is it today?
Ganja John's Kidney.
Ganja John's Kidney. Happy birthday, Ganja John's Kidney. You all won.
One.
Well,
1 year old.
You are one in Ganja John.
There we go.
Ganja
one. 1 year in Ganja John.
Anyway, Clark, I hope you've left some of those English flowers for me. I know you've been doing some strain reviews again on your blog. Check that out, guys. ClarkFrench.wordpress.com. I uploaded a little video to celebrate Clark's birthday on my YouTube, Cannabis Cure TV. Also showing off some of the herbal products and extracts that I came back with from California this week. Smoked down some DNA's LA Confidential and a batch of Chem Dog oil that I made. Oh, that was potent.
Mm-hmm.
It was, well, you can see from the hit. Go and check out the video. I just ruined my face. I cried. Anyway, must see Cannabis Activists on October the 18th at University of Salford in Manchester. Peter Reynolds versus Peter Hitchens, the Reefer Madness man from the Daily Mail. They're going to have a debate, the head off about cannabis. The debate is called "This House Proposes a Legal Regulated Market for Cannabis." For the argument, Peter Reynolds of Clear. Against, Peter Hitchens of the Daily Mail. It's in G21 in Mary Seacole Building of the University of Salford, Tuesday, October the 18th, 6 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Admission is £5, and I will be there. So make sure you come and see me and buy your Cure UK t-shirts for £20. Sorry, just plug that in there. If you're not going to be there, you can get it on www.handmadeapparel.biz. Get it from Adam Hand. Order it on the website. £20 if you're in the UK. It includes your shipping. And $30 for the United States. That also includes your shipping. Right. Clear. Seek an end to the prohibition of cannabis, most urgently, on a doctor's prescription for those that need it on a medical basis. It also advocates a safer, more responsible system of regulation which protect children and vulnerable. Bring an end to an illegal and destructive cannabis farming network that is stealing electricity, and cut out organised crime from the streets of Britain. Clear on tour, Cannabis Law Reform Roadshow, Des Humphreys, who in my eyes is a rock in the fight for cannabis use on both sides of the argument, recreational, medical, he's a strong advocate out on the west and in Wales. He is, like I say, he's the rock. Des has written up a little report specifically for you listeners of the Cannabis Cure UK Weekly News Podcast. So without further ado, here it is. Thanks very much, Des. It all started on Saturday, the 1st of October, 2011. The morning of the first Cannabis Truth Roadshow to hit the streets of the UK, and its first small town in West Wales called Carmarthen. The reason for this is Carmarthen is a strong Plaid Cymru area whose policy on cannabis has been, and still is, for decriminalisation for medical and personal use. The local council wanted me to be right there, right and early. So 9 a.m, some people might think this would be hard work for a cannabis user. Two stone to move is the usual concept, but not for me. 5 a.m. is the normal time of the day for me. I get up a weekday and or a weekend, so the car picked me up with the help of a few friends of mine and a sativa, pure kick to start the day off the way I want. And away we go. An hour later and we arrive at the Guildhall in Carmarthen Town Centre. By 9:40 we have the Clear gazebo and PA system up and running. Come 10:30, a handful of people had turned up to see what we had to say for ourselves. In particular, a gentleman with his teenage son, who was about 12 or 13 years of age, was listening to what I was explaining to some other OAPs, old age pensioners. Now, this gentleman's teenage daughter has a brain tumour and she has been through the mill back, having chemo, not working, so She has asked for Dez for some advice. The only advice that he could give her was about Rick Simpson's oil. So that's all he had heard of, and the guy had heard of it already. So he just wanted a bit more information on it, and Peter Reynolds chipped in while Dez carried on with something else, with some membership details. 11:30, we had a visit from a community police officer who asked for some of our leaflets. Now, being a wise man, I knew what was coming, so I told our helpers to put certain things away they had in their possession that may come in law's way. Within 5 minutes, there they come up the street, one community support officers with two normal police. Now, me being me, this is Dez, refused to put my medicine away from anyone except children, so the smell was quite pungent. Me, the officer, shook hands with me and then wanted to know what my purpose was being here in Carmarthen, to which I gladly explained. Now, on the table, I had a gift box from the body shop. This was hemp body butter. Now, this is a classic. The officer started to investigate the ingredients. Yeah, so he's picking up the body butter, looking at the back of it, and trying to work out if it's got anything that it shouldn't have in it. he said, "Do you know that cannabis is now a Class B?" "Yes," I said. "Well, this stuff has cannabis in it." "No," I said, "this has hemp in it, not cannabis." With that, the community officer says he took a look and... Oh, got something going on in the background. Can you mute that? Sorry, Russ.
Not always easy doing these things live.
Especially, I'm just on the one deck. Sorry, it always gets around this part. I think it's the weed stops kicking in.
That could be it.
So he said, well, this stuff has cannabis in it. No, I said, it has hemp in it, not cannabis. With that, the community officer say it has, it says cannabis sativa. With that, I replied, "Well, I just purchased this from the body shop, from your town." And with the normal officer, opened the containers and started to sniff the contents. I found it very hard to keep my giggles in, and the next step was, "Well, someone smells very strongly of cannabis." I replied it wasn't any of the boys that were present with me, so there's no point in searching them. To that, an elderly woman of the young age of 81 shouted to me, "Where can I get some of that lovely smelling cannabis from? I'm 81, and if you think you can stop me using cannabis, you've got no chance." Then the gentleman who was with his daughter who had the brain tumour joined in the conversation and with the policeman and the old lady, and then to top it off, a tourist from Holland turned up and had to have his say as well. The police was overwhelmed by the support of the clear and the passing public that he left me there to carry on doing what we were doing for, and politely shook my hand again and wished me luck in our fight. Peter Reynolds then gave his speech to the passing public and a number of people who turned up to the show support. New members were taking donations, plus clear wristbands were also being sold. All of this was in a good day's work for everyone, and we look forward to our next tour date. People who helped up with setting up were Torin Radford and Mark Edwards, both members of Clear. Thank you very much for joining. There were also other members present that might not want to be named. Thank you very much to Dez and Peter, for everyone who got out there to be involved with this real momentous occasion. It really sounds like we have had some amazingly positive feedback from the public, and obviously our first interactions with the police, the merry men, the police community support officers, the ones that don't really have any power, get paid a pretty good wage, get the uniform, and then get a radio link to call the real police. I've got that on my mobile phone. It's called 999, or 911 if you're in the States.
That's right.
Clearly, we're stepping into the right sort of position there. It's stepping up the game now as well, allocating the funds to the appropriate direction. It's good to see that street action, the street teams. Looking forward to getting on these myself, getting in the mix, stand there, educating the public, communicating with them, finding out their response. I mean, it's really, really important to find out what the public think, because without their... without their input, we don't know what we're doing. We could just be saying anything, couldn't we?
That's right. I mean, you got to remember that anything we have to do in a democracy, we've got to have a majority for. So it can't just be those of us who support cannabis. We have to get some of those people who are ignorant about it. We got to get them educated and get them over to our side so that we are the majority, whether they use cannabis or not.
I think it's amazing that this person, his young son was with him. He went openly to speak to someone about cannabis, an illicit drug, for treatment for his daughter, who has a brain tumor. He's not plugged into our community. This shows you that there's a large amount of people out there that have got questions about cannabis that aren't being answered. No one's addressing them for them. We've got Frank, which is, to be frank, a quite clearly rubbish service for the public. It's kind of like Dare, but less forcing.
Is that those ads they had on the multiple personalities?
Yeah,
of Frank.
I'm gonna grab one up just to play it.
You know, I think there's a kind of a cruelty to this time in history right now, because before, you know, when cannabis was just illegal and there was no medical marijuana, people weren't thinking of it that way. I mean, people were certainly using it medically. They just didn't think of it that way. But at that time, you know, if you were this fella whose daughter's got the tumor, you didn't know it existed. You didn't know it was an option. And so you weren't missing anything. And I anticipate in the very near future, it will be a recognized option, and this guy will have no shame or hurdles in getting it for his daughter. But at this time in history, it's the cruelest time, because people are aware that it's out there. They've heard wonderful, amazing things about it, but they don't get straight education on it, and they get punished or even locked up if they try to find out more about it.
And it is incredibly sad. I was watching a documentary with Northwest Ski Bums, Mrs. One of the British ones.
Yeah.
Cannabis, the evil weed?
Yes.
And this guy, he sits there and he says, cannabis is my enemy. I just sit here and smoke it all day. You've missed the fundamental part of what you just said. I just sit here and smoke it all day. It's consumed my life. No, you're in control of your life. I smoke it all day in excess, probably more than him, in a higher potency than him. And I seriously just can't understand why I can get off my ass and do something, yet he can't. He says, I'll wake up and put a spliff in my mouth. I'll drink a glass of wine. I'll have another spliff. I'll watch TV. I might have something to eat, and I'll definitely have another glass of wine. By the end of the evening, he's finished one or two bottles of wine. Yet he doesn't talk about the wine being an impact in his life. He just talks about the cannabis. I just want to play this advert from Frank. They're just a joke in my eyes. So the munchies are walking into this guy's apartment now. I've lit up a joint. They're walking around. Sulfur Dibs in there. Chilling Out is in there. That's the two positives. Munchies, positive. Three. Alright. Panic attack walking in. Memory loss. A little bit of paranoia. And the giggles. I think giggles is a positive. That's four positive against three minus negative.
The more you mess with cannabis, the more it can mess with your mind. To find out more, talk to Frank.
And there the guy's sitting on the couch, just panicking. Talk to Frank.
That's the one that I covered on the Stash one time, of the Talk to Frank ads, the multiple personalities, you know, the crazy stuff there. And I think I counted, there was 11 or 12 of them by the time I counted all of them.
Yeah, but
and like you say, about half of them are like, well, what's wrong with that?
There's more of them are positives than negatives.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even address all the issues. Does it talk about the medicinal effects? Does it talk about slowing down your heart rate sometimes?
Right.
Does it talk about anything to do with multiple sclerosis or the fact that people use it for pain relief? No, it just goes on the fact that people are smoking it and they're dumb and they're going to get mad from it.
Yep, you smoke the skunk and all your multiple personalities will come out and drive you mad.
Oh, dearie me. Anyway.
It's good to know that this is kind of a universal thing, this reefer madness. It's in the UK, it's over here in America. I've seen some crazy stuff out of Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even Africa has some wild stuff from time to time.
Well, and look at all these enemies we've got already. And yet, we've still got haters in our own community. And here's a message. For all you haters out there that want to slate and slander clear on any of our so-called newbie activists out there that have got themselves fully thrown wholeheartedly into the campaign, Eat our dust or join us. Seriously, we have way too many enemies in the uneducated world of the media, the government, and the Daily Mail readers to be arguing amongst ourselves and having infighting. For those that are complaining about the mention of cannabis being used as a medicine and have fear that if people get it as a medicine, no one else will ever be able to get it, it's just not the case. It's not what we're seeing anywhere else in the world. Portland is practically being called Potland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all I seem to hear. I've been to the comedy club and it's all jokes about smoking pot and like Portland in particular.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, everyone smokes pot around here, you old hippies.
That's right. Well, so, it rains 7 months out of the year. What else are you going to do?
Oh, that happens in the UK too. We have between 2 and 10 million cannabis users in the UK. We don't know because how can we get accurate figures when everyone's so scared of telling the truth
right.
about their use of a safe recreational substance.
When I give the National Survey on Drug Use and Health figures here in the United States, I always say, all right, here's the number of people that are willing to admit to a complete stranger on the telephone who's asking them whether or not they break state and federal laws. So adjust accordingly. You know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I've been talking to Sanj Chowdhury. We're going to start getting some movement. We want to get these chapters out. We want people to be clear about the truth about cannabis. They can't be against us in these universities if we're a political group because we're involved. You know, we want a sensible policy on cannabis. Same with SSDP. We need to get these chapters out there. There's a wider issue here. People don't understand. I mean, I've had a further experience with mind-altering drugs. Let's say since I've been in America, other than cannabis, I'm seriously. I'm going to be honest, I took LSD. I went and saw Further, and I took LSD, and I had the greatest time of my life. My first reaction was, oh my God, why do people drink beer? I questioned talking about this on the show for a couple of weeks.
Right.
Well, since I did it, I was like, should I talk about this? And I just have. It felt natural to, so I honestly told Lev straight away, this is a joke. I understand things a hell of a lot better with the whole wider drugs issue. Why the hell do people drink when they have LSD is what I thought. Obviously, a hell of a lot of education has to come with that. You can't just make these outrageous claims like that. But people are going to feel like that if they haven't got the education behind them. I was just overwhelmed by the fact that, hang on a minute, I've got this warm, fuzzy feeling I kind of associated with when I drank alcohol. But I had a much clearer head. I wasn't feeling negative at all. And no one was violent around me.
Right.
So I just, you know, that's really massive part of the great experience for me. You know, just start getting educated on the wider issue. Drug prohibition is a scourge, not drugs. The next thing I want to talk about is Sam Dyer. He is a 25-year-old cancer patient in the UK. He was on The One Show and on ITV's This Morning recently. I'm going to pay you the clip from ITV's This Morning. He was on there with Eamon Holmes. And I'm really proud. I think he made good use of his time. Basically, his dad is a cancer specialist, but not brain cancer. So, not a specific specialist in the cancer that Sam has. Though he will have contacts in the medical world. But it's quite interesting the way Sam has gone down this. I'm going to play the clip, and then we're going to have a little chat after it before finishing the show this week. Alrighty.
It's Friday morning, this morning with Eamon and Ruth.
Hello, welcome back. Now, it's common for parents and their children, isn't it, to have differences of opinion. That's nothing new. But it's rare that they become a matter of life and death. But sadly, that is the case for our next guest. Because 20 months ago, Sam Dyer here was diagnosed with a malignant, inoperable brain tumour.
OK, so the tumour would kill him. Sam disagrees, though, and he's trying alternative therapies to combat it. The problem is, Dad, Martin, is no ordinary dad. He's a leading cancer specialist. The thing is, Dad, do you think that these alternative therapies work?
No, simply no. There's no evidence that any of the things that Sam have tried will really make an objective difference to his tumour. Having said that, the stuff that he's tried has resulted in a slight decrease in his tumour on his latest scan.
And
what? Sorry? Hang on. Just what? The things that he's trying haven't got any impact on what he's doing yet. We're seeing a reduction in the size of his tumour on the scan. Let me just wind that back a little bit.
To his tumour. Having said that, the stuff that he's tried has resulted in a slight decrease in his tumour on his latest scan.
Okay. And you can't blame him for trying anything.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. No, that's a separate issue altogether. You know, yeah. And this is a when he was diagnosed, 22-year-old boy who realised very very soon on that conventional medicine didn't have much to offer. Yeah.
Sam, where are you at the moment? How are you feeling? You're looking good.
Feeling pretty solid. Mm-hmm. As solid as one can hope to be, I think, under the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm one of the lucky ones. I mean, I've had, like, 3 seizures in the last 30 months, one which was only 2 days ago, and that's because I took wrong medication, I honestly believe. And apart from that, I'm in generally good health and I'm in good standing. And I think you might be interested to hear about some of the things that I have been trying and am very eager to talk about, I suppose.
Mm. And the thing you're eager to talk about in particular is the use of cannabis, which is incredibly controversial. And, of course, it's illegal, right? You know, so yeah. It can't be condoned. Mm. But you're in a situation where you're saying, I'm going to use this. In what form do you use it, and why do you believe that it works? And why do you think there should be research?
Okay, in extremely concentrated resin format. I got it through, well, I hastened to divulge my sources, but I got it basically in an envelope. And it was just 10 grams at a time. And I've heard from many different people, all anecdotal stories, of course, but I've actually been in contact with one person in particular who was the uncle of an 18-year-old girl who had a grade 4 glioma, which is like one of the most deadly forms of cancer. It's a very, very deadly form of brain cancer. Virtually no one survives it. And this girl took, I think, about 60 grams of this stuff over, ingested it from a packet over a space of a month, and her last scan showed up negative. Mm-hmm. In fact, 2 of the last scans have shown up completely clear of it. That's
what about your scans? Because you've had one, was it a year ago, where the tumour had reduced slightly?
It had, yes. I've been trying numerous things apart from this. I've also been trying a compound called sodium dichloroacetate, or DCA, and that helps basically make the cancer cells less... They take in less energy.
But Dad, he believes in this, and if it's working for him, you know, well and good. But the thing is, the scientific evidence at the moment is not there. Is it not? So what about Sam's whole call for research? Where do you stand on that?
So
research into...
Yeah, I mean, the DCA, there is... You see, the trouble is with all this, there is a little bit of scientific evidence from the lab that suggests it has some activity, right? But then translating that from the lab to individuals, there's a huge gulf. With the cannabis, we've no idea what might be working, what particular
molecule. It must be so hard for you, Martin, because right from the start, when Sam got this terrible diagnosis, you, I presume in your time, have probably had to give that news to other parents, never thinking in a million years you'd have to listen to that news.
Quite.
And I imagine, as a professor and a specialist in cancer, that your first thought would be, right, you know, we're going to sort this, you know, I'll speak to all my cancer specialist friends and we'll sort it out. And yet you can't, which must make you feel very helpless.
Sam was the driver here. Sam made the point very forcibly, you know, that you are my father, not my doctor. So, you know, you're quite right. That was the instant reaction. You know, we've got to sort this out. We're going to go to the best specialist we can find. Now, he didn't want that at all. He just wanted me to just...
Why didn't you want... help from your father?
I suppose I wanted the lines. Well, for one thing, he's a specialist in leukemias and lymphomas, blood cancers and stuff like that. Though he did once for a while flirt with the idea of switching to brain tumours, which was an admirable sign of devotion. But I wanted there to be a clear line. I did not want there to be too much interference, in short.
So it's like, you'd be my dad, not my doctor.
Yeah.
Because your mum's a nurse, a trained nurse as well, isn't she? She's got 2 parents who must have their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sam, you have no shortage of info on your tumour and your own theories about it. You've learnt a lot about that.
Yeah.
What have you learnt about yourself in this time?
I never say die, in short. I just will not quit. Yeah. And the anecdotal evidence warrants, in my opinion, it really warrants investigation of a severe kind, because this could mean, if even like 1 or 2 of the stories that I've read are true, I think that would be the case, that like a massive kind of onsurge of this kind of stuff would be warranted from all angles. And I'm really hoping that someone picks up the ball and works on
and Dad,
getting this stuff out.
What have you learned about your boy who you've known for 20-odd years, and yet there's things you're obviously learning?
I admire him. I don't agree with everything he's done by any means in terms of all this other stuff that he's done. But I've got to admire him for his tenacity, his single-minded purpose. He's taken everything to the absolute max, the tops, and, you know, he's done very well. He's doing very well. Yeah.
Well, we hope you continue to do very well. And he said, you know, there's always research going on, as you know, and it's lovely to see you both here, you know, when you do you have such a supportive family, and you think of people that might have to face something like this on their own.
Yeah. Do you believe, Sam, you'll beat this?
Well, you have to. I mean, I'm leaning more towards the positive at the moment. If someone else can do it, if other people can do it, I believe I certainly can. And I'm still sticking around, and I have every intention of beating this ridiculous thing that's in my head, because I've got a lot more I want to say on this topic. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that there'll be a lot more people out there who want to hear it.
Sam, well, lovely meeting you. Good luck to you with what lies ahead. Thank you very much indeed. Martin, thank you very much.
Yep. Well, I spoke to Sam, and I've agreed to give him as much time as he would like to speak about what he's been experiencing with the cannabis oil, his experience with his brain tumour as well. It's got to be quite a horrific thing to go through, especially when you've got someone of medicine in your family. They've right obviously, you know, they understand pharmaceutical medicine to a very large degree and quite in depth. Obviously, this guy is a specialist in lymphoma cancers, but it's disappointing when we have so much evidence now supporting the use of cannabis in the treatment of cancer, like in rats, for example.
Right.
I'm sure you'd be able to quote it a little bit better than me, but in rats we've seen tumour growth reduced, and in some cases they've disappeared completely.
Right.
In rats, in labs. But there are people, as Sam is saying, claiming that the cannabis oil is working for them in the same way they're applying it to their face and seeing reduction of skin cancer, and they're using it in their ingesting it to relieve them from internal cancers like pancreatic cancer, and multiple times we see it with brain cancer.
Yeah, the thing that always gets to me is when these people see the anecdotal evidence of, you know, dozens, hundreds, thousands of people that will say cannabis works for this or that, and the reaction is, oh my god, we don't know how it works, so we better not let them use it, instead of, oh my god, we don't know how it works, but it seems to be working, so have at ya, and we'll try and figure out how it works later.
Let's keep looking at it while you're using it.
Yeah, we'll look at it while you're using it.
While it's not harming you, let's try and reduce whatever harms it might give you that we think it might.
It's just that moral, you know, demonization of cannabis that, you know, prevents them from making the logical that they would for anything else. If anything else came out that did what cannabis does, they'd go, oh my god, that's amazing. Keep doing that. Let's try to figure out what it is.
Yeah, it is just a challenge to unlearn the lies.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Right, we're running out of time. 2 minutes left. Sam's going to be on the show, I guess, in a month or so when I get back home. Hope you're listening, Sam. It's well done for your TV appearances, both on here and on the BBC on the One Show. Really nice to get you out there and get the topic about openly. Let's see what else you've got to say. I'm looking forward to it, mate. I'm going to play you out with a little tune. I'm going to find one for you quickly. It's been awesome doing this with you, Russ, for the last few weeks.
Thank you.
This is the last show in Portland, unfortunately. I am going to miss it a hell of a lot. Like I say, it's Portland, isn't it?
It sure is.
But this one is Jimi Hendrix, Voodoo Child, the dubstep remix. I liked this last week. Thank you to everyone for listening. Sorry for the shaky start. I will be back in Denver next week for another show of the Cannabis Cure UK Weekly News Podcast if Tim Martin lets me use his new studio at the Warren Edson offices, wherever it is. Oh, man. We've got to do this. We've got to leave Portland. It's been great. Thank you very much, Russ. Roller J Studios, Normal Show Live, Stashers out there. You are a true inspiration to me and everything I do in my life. I wouldn't be here without you at all. The Stash has literally been my family for the last 6 months. And, yeah. Blimey, going home to Blighty. Stay tuned to Cannabis Cure TV at YouTube and cannabiscure.co.uk. Normal show live. Peace out, guys.
Coming up next on the Normal Network, Mile High Normal Show with Scott Green and Georgia Edson from Denver, Colorado, telling it like it is in America's capital of cannabis commerce from the point of view of consumer lobbyists. Check